Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today, our journey through Acts brings us to chapter 18. Now, I like to read some of these chapters, but there are so many pronunciations in chapters like this in the book of Acts that I have to defer once again to the recording from Bible Is, From Faith Comes by Hearing. So let's listen in to chapter 18.
Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them,
"Your blood be on your own heads! I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles."
And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision,
"Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people."
And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying,
"This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law."
But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews,
"If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things."
And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said,
"I will return to you, if God wills."
And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus.
Here in chapter 18, I want to share just two quick points, and then go to a journal entry that I wrote back in 1992. The two points in chapter 18 are in verse 5, when Paul was occupied with the word. And I think we've emphasized this over and over, that Paul was a man of the word. In verse 11, the scripture says, "And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. If you're going to teach the word of God for a year and 6 months, you really need to know the scriptures. My second point is in verse 24, where we are introduced to another person named Apollos. And it says there too, he was competent in the scriptures. And because Apollos was competent in the scriptures, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, and that's verse 25. So I realize we emphasize over and over in some of these recordings the need to be in the scriptures. And I wanted to make those 2 points out of Acts chapter 18 today. Now to my Bible reading journal of 1992. A lot of times in these journals, I just write about my thoughts about the Word of God. But sometimes I write about life. And so here is an entry that I wrote about some things I was struggling with in my life, and I thought it was relevant to share this with you today. If you're parents of teenagers, you're going to find this very interesting. You see, in 1992, my kids were teenagers. And just like I was challenged as a Christian during those teenage years, you may be challenged as well. So you might get some encouragement from what I wrote in my journal in 1992 about parenting teenagers. I quote from my journal entry, "I've been wrestling with my relationship with Jason and Ryan. Now those are my 2 sons, which is also affecting my relationship with Terry, who is my wife. Now I wanted to control them, protect them from danger, poor decisions, poor moral influence, laziness. I wanted to impose my spiritual values on them so they could avoid painful decisions and experiences that may hurt them in their future. Through discipline, I hope to build personal responsibility, but I don't think it's working. I have the poorest relationship with them I've ever had. We fight a lot, we lose a lot of respect for me and me for them, and their performance is subpar in school and in self-discipline, so I'm not getting anywhere. It's time for a change." I realize that one must go through the teenage years to get from childhood to adulthood. In that process, parents have to begin to let go, let children become adults, and it's hard, and I need to. Then I capitalize this in my journal. I need to trust them over to God. It's time to let go a little bit and pray for them a lot more, and free them to be what God and or they want to become. Still reading in my journal, "I hope I've poured enough influence in them since they were born to help them end up where I want to see them. But I cannot any longer control the outcome. As a teenager, I wanted more decision-making power too. I did some dumb things, but God did protect me from death, drugs, sex, major injury, etc. I turned out okay, and I wanted to make my kids leap over the school of hard knocks, but it's the best place to learn. God, give me the ability to free my children to grow into responsible adults. Help me respect them, love them deeply, and trust them over to you. I've done the best I can to see that they end up with you. Help me implement a new strategy of fatherhood that would benefit them and me, and heal our relationship." And that was the end of my journal entry in 1992. Though that entry doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Acts 18, I thought it was important to share that today. As Christians, we're not exempt from the challenges of life, are we? So I pray again, if you are a parent of teenagers, that this might be an encouragement to you. Lord, we pray today, thank you for the reminder that Paul and Apollos were both men of the Word, and that you encourage us over and over in the book of Acts to be people of the Word, to spend time in the Scriptures. And that might help us too as we face the challenges of raising children, especially teenage children. Keep us grounded in the Word of God as we face the challenges of life. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.